We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Albert, how are you? Thanks for joining me today.
I'm good. How are you doing, Adam?
Doing well. And I'm getting to watch baseball, you know, and that cheers me up because I know that the spring is coming. That the weather's going to get better after these miserable winters. But, you know, Albert, it's funny. I saw you tweet about, you know, the stupid decision by the state of Texas to do away with the mask ban when for the first time it feels like we could see the light at the end of the tunnel. And it just kind of had me thinking, like, I'm hoping, like, for baseball, we're going to – here in Ohio, we're going to have 30% fans for the games. We had zero last year. I'm hopeful that maybe by the summer – and certainly by football season, we might even be able to get back to full stadiums, maybe. And I feel like decisions like this by dopey politicians are going to – like, why would you try to set it back now? We're getting close.
I mean, I'm not here to – I guess I'm not really – I'm not on with you guys to talk about these sorts of things. But it's just to me, it's so common sense. And it's like – and I just – I think this is just a problem in our country in general, and that, like, everybody draws a line, and you either have to be – the person who locks themselves in their house and will never leave again, or you have to be the cowboy who's acting like nothing's wrong. You know what I mean? Like, and there is an in-between. Like, we can pragmatically find a way to solve problems. We can pragmatically find a way to save small businesses. We can pragmatically find a way to open schools and have our kids learning like they should be and do it in a safe way, you know? And I don't know, it just seems so ridiculous to me that you'd be this close to the finish line and like you have your leaders telling you, like, don't worry about the masks anymore. What is the benefit that anybody's getting from not wearing, like, right now, like when we're this close, like, what's the upside to saying we're going to rescind the mask mandate? It makes no sense. Now, if everybody was vaccinated, you know, then I think, you know, then we're good, you know, and everybody's had a chance to get it, all that, you know, fine. Like, and, you know, hopefully we get there, but this just seems like a recipe for making the situation worse.
Yeah, no doubt. Do you think the league is optimistic it will have at minimum 50% fans at the start of the season, if not better?
Yeah, you know, I think we're getting there, which is great. And so, you know, I think it's probably like a little foolish to make any sort of declaration right now. Because I mean, most of all, because they don't have to, you know what I mean? Like, they don't have to say anything. Now, when we get to, you know, when we get to April and the schedule comes out, now we're talking about teams asking for season ticket deposits and all of that sort of stuff. That's when, you know, you've got to start to, like, you know, forecast forward and give your fans an idea of what you're doing. But there's no sense in making any sort of declaration the first week in March. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, look, I think, you know, I there's at least optimism that we're going to be in a place with the vaccine by the time we get to May, when a lot of those decisions have to be made, where, you know, we can either see light at the end of the tunnel, or there might be a reason to tap the brakes. But, you know, I don't think the NFL has any need to make a decision right now. Of course, they want fans back in the stands, and, you know, the ability to kind of, you know, get back to running their businesses the way that they've always run them. You know, everybody wants that. You know what I mean? But you know, I think for right now, the idea is, you know, until we have to release the schedule, there's no great reason to come out there and make any sort of grand proclamation about what's going to be happening in September.
Speaking of the schedule, Albert, is there any reason to believe that they won't that the owners won't choose to go to 17 games next year?
No. I think the only reason it's not final is because it's part of the television negotiations.
Sure.
And so, you know, I think it's going to happen. You know, what's interesting is going to be what happens with the Super Bowl, because they still haven't, like, given firm word to Los Angeles on when the Super Bowl is going to be played. Now, I think we could be reasonable and look at this and say it's probably going to be February 13th instead of February 6th. But, you know, L.A. has basically blocked off three dates. It's, you know, February 6th, February 13th, and February 20th. The 20th is actually President's Day weekend. We've all had that discussion in the past. And we know they're not going to open the season on Labor Day weekend, because that's like a ratings graveyard. And so if you are going to, you know, keep the, you know, start of the season where it is, that means you're probably going to be moving the Super Bowl back at least a week. And you know, that's if you hold on to the Super Bowl bye week. Maybe you want to move the whole season back another week, and then, you know, you're on President's Day week. Yep. And so all that stuff needs to be discussed. But the formula for the 17th game has already been determined. We know who everybody's opponents would be for the 17th game. And the last thing to really do here is just bake it into the television contract negotiations, which are ongoing.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, J.J. Watt, Arizona, not a team that people were talking about. Why do you think he ultimately ended up there? Is it all about money, or is there a lot of other factors?
Yeah, I mean, money is definitely part of it. I'm not going to pretend it isn't. But, you know, there's also a piece of this that I think comes down to, you know, where he thought personally he could perform at the highest level. And, you know, I've sort of gone back to some of these numbers. It's really interesting. If you look at his career, I mean, like, just an unprecedented start to it. But the last 5 years, in three of those 5 years, he's played less than half the season. And in only really one of those years, and that was 2018, he was up to the level that he had played at the first 5 years of his career. And so, you know, when you're a guy that puts as much into it as he does, you know, I think that there's a desire to prove to everybody that you're capable of being that guy again. And so, you know, I think winning was a factor. You know, and this Cardinals team isn't the Cardinals of 2 years ago. So they actually, you know, I should be in a position to contend next year. But, you know, a huge part of it too is going to be like, where do I think that I can go and play at a really high level again? And, you know, in Arizona, like, he's familiar with the defensive coordinator and Vance Joseph. Vance was, you know, was a Houston defensive assistant, J.J.'s first 3 years in the league. The system's Wade Phillips' system. The verbiage is the same as the system that was run in Houston, J.J.'s first 3 years in the league, and he gets to play opposite Chandler Jones. So I think there's a great opportunity there for him to play at a really high level. And, you know, I mean, I think there's some appeal, too, to maybe being the missing piece that makes the Cardinals a real contender.
Albert, Hassan Reddick, who had been a disappointment his first 3 years in Arizona, had a big breakout season last year in year four. Does this move mean he is more likely to, you know, hit free agency? And do you think he's a fit for that Browns pass rusher they're looking for?
He could be. You know, a big part of what the big part of the problem with him had been that you know, like, he's not like he was. So he was an edge rusher at Temple, but he wasn't like prototype, like, his build wasn't what you think of, like, the big long, you know, long arms, tall, all that. And so when the Cardinals took him, they saw a guy who was a really good playmaker, and they moved him off the ball his first 3 years in the league. And, you know, eventually, after Vance and Cliff got there, they saw, you know, what he was, and they said, why don't we just, you know, get him back to what he was really good at when he was in college? And all of a sudden, he had 12 sacks, you know, so you know, it's really interesting from that standpoint, and that he's, like, not what you think of when you look at, like, you know, he's not like one of the, like, Myles Garrett there, you know, like, who looks like he was born to be a pass rusher. Like, it's not, he's not built that way, but, you know, he's super productive playing that sort of role in college, and now he's been super productive doing it as a pro. So it definitely would make some sense. And I do think, you know, the Cardinals bringing in J.J. Watt is an acknowledgement that maybe they would have some trouble keeping Hassan Reddick once he hits the market.
You know, another interesting pass rusher to me, Albert, is Carl Lawson. Obviously, I've seen him play the last 4 years in Cincinnati. You know, he had 8.5 sacks as a rookie and hasn't had more than 5.5. But if you watch him play, right, I mean, he's on a bad defense, and they were all banged up last year. But He's got a lot of talent. His pressure rate is really high. I think he's like there's a lot of untapped potential with him. What do you think his market's going to be? And do you agree?
He's sort of similar to Reddick too, and he's like one of these sawed off guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That like he's a little shorter, but he's very athletic, and he's only 25 years old, so you figure there's still some upside there. I actually think he's in the group. So, like, I think there'd be three tiers of free agency. You have a tier A guys, probably the top 25 guys or so, and those guys are going to get paid like nothing happened, right? Like, those guys are going to – and then, you know, you have tier B, which I think is going to be guys that are going to be able to do one-year deals or bridge deals because of, you know, the conditions economically the pandemic's created with the cap and everything else. And then tier C, I think it's guys that might have gotten, like, some decent money in the past who are all going to be playing on the minimum now. And so I think Carl Lawson's a tier A guy. So he's one of these who I think, like, if you're looking to go and get him, you're probably going to have to pay him as if there was no revenue shortfall, as if there was nothing wrong with the cap, all of that. So that's the issue, but he's a really good player. And like you said, like, I think he's still got some upside to be even better based on, you know, what he did his first 4 years in the league and the fact that he's still only 25 years old.
Do you think, like, a team like the Browns that have a lot of salary cap room, the Colts, another good team with salary cap space, because the cap's going lower and a lot of guys maybe more than most years will get cut, could teams like the Browns and Colts really clean up on a bunch of B-level free agents?
Yeah, I do. I think so. You know, I really, you know, and I thought New England in that group too. They're another one that, like, you know, they weren't what they usually are, but they were still, you know, 7-9 last year. And who knows if they bounce back if they get the quarterback position right. You know, I think teams that have cap space that are smart about this could really clean up, you know, because I think what's going to happen is, you know, that tier A is going to come off the market. And then you might have like 10 players at every position that are virtually the same because so many people are getting cut.
Yep.
And so if you have cap space to sign guys to one-year deals or bridge deals, you know, I think you're going to have a chance to sort of cherry pick some guys off the market with other teams tight to the cap. So, I really think teams like the Colts and the Browns that give guys a chance to contend. Because really, if you're a player and you're doing that one-year deal or you're doing a bridge deal, the idea is I want to go to a really good team so people watch me play. And so there's a spotlight on the year that I'm having. And so, like, if I produce, people are going to know that I was producing in kind of, like, you know, just high-gravity situations because I'm playing for a contender. And so, you know, I sort of think back to, and I don't know if you remember this, but I think back to, like, the 2013 market. The cap had been flat for a couple of years. They were waiting for the money from the new TV deals to kick in back then. That was under the 2011 CBA, the early years of that. And if you look, like, the 13 was a really strange year in free agency. And corner, which is normally like this premier position, right, wound up, there was like just no market for guys at that position, right? So Aqib Talib did a one-year deal. Dominique Rogers-Cromartie did a one-year deal. Talib signed with the Patriots, which is where he had been. He had just been traded there. And then Rogers-Cromartie signed with the Broncos. And both those guys wound up playing in a bunch of big games. And both those guys wound up getting enormous contracts the next year. So I think that's going to happen with a lot of the free agents this year is you're going to see them signing one-year deals with good teams that have cap space. And so there aren't very many of them, but the Colts and Browns are two that you mentioned that really very much are in that category.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, you've talked about this on our show as well, you know, on Twitter, and now it becomes a reality. I know you reported today that the Bills have submitted a rule to change the proposal to the NFL that would bar interviews for front office and coaching positions until after the conference title games and hirings until after the Super Bowl. What are the chances that this will actually pass?
I think pretty decent. Now, we've seen the owners table these sorts of things in the past for more discussion and everything else, but I think because this is a diversity rules proposal and because the diversity committee was a part of this, I think there's a pretty decent chance that it rolls through. Now, it's not without drawbacks. You know, I think waiting, if you're a team that fires its coach, it puts you in a really awkward situation for 3 weeks after the season, right, where you may not have any football leadership at all. You know, there are going to be questions about how do you possibly staff the Senior Bowl in that situation, you know, which is during conference championship game, during the week after the conference championship games, if you don't have a GM or you don't have a head coach. How do you get ready for the combine? So there are all those questions, right? And they'd have to work through some of that. You know, I think the counter argument is that if you're making these hires, they're supposed to be 5 and 10 year hires. So if you lose a month, it shouldn't be that big a deal. So it'll be interesting to see where the discussion goes. Obviously, having an enormous impact on the way the NFL is doing business. But the idea is, don't penalize guys for advancing in the playoffs. And I think it's really highlighted by the fact that five assistant coaches that were in the conference title games got interviews for head coaching jobs. They were requested a total of 14 times. And those five guys, Nathaniel Hackett in Green Bay, Eric Bieniemy in Kansas City, Todd Bowles in Tampa, and then Brian Daboll and Leslie Frazier in Buffalo, none of those guys wound up getting jobs. You think about that, it sort of highlights how those guys were at a disadvantage coming into the whole thing. And so, it'll be interesting to see where it goes, but I think it's got some really good momentum, and it looks like it might wind up getting voted through. I can't say whether or not it'll be modified in any way, but it does seem like a lot of people are behind this idea.
Albert, last thing, it's another rule change. I love this one. I know it got tabled last year. My guess is it doesn't get approved. I love it. I don't see any downside. The thing the Eagles keep bringing up about changing the onside kick to a 4th and 15. I was reading somewhere where, like, one of the things they were concerned about is that you could, you know, on an onside kick, you can't advance it. On this, you can.
Yeah.
Why is that a negative? I don't understand that.
Well, I think there are a couple things. I think number one, there's some sensitivity to the elimination of the kickoff. And really, you know, I think part of that is what that means for people's jobs, you know, and what that means for certain people at the bottom of the rosters and what that means for special teams coaches. And, you know, I know, like Bill Belichick's one of these guys, actually. It's like a real purist, you know, as far as like the kicking game is part of the game. Like, you take that out of the game and you're really kind of changing what football is. And so it's an interesting discussion. I don't think it was particularly close to passing last year, but I think it did have a little bit more support than it had the year before. This would be the third year in a row that they put it in front of the competition committee. So, it's an interesting idea. I don't know that it has the support that it's going to need. And this would be a big year for it, because I think this would be the third year that it would have been, you know, proposed and put in front of the owners. And so,
right,
you know, you have to think at some point gets in front of the owners enough, and either it gets voted through or it dies in the vine.
Albert, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate the time.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.